We have the BLM paleontologist for the Southwestern region. This is Phil Gensler. Welcome to the Children's Hour, Phil Gensler.
Thanks, Katie. Happy to be here.
We are so excited you're here because you are a man whose head is full of information we want to dig around in. No pun intended. Actually, there was a pun intended. So you're a paleontologist for real?
I am.
Like you were a kid and you always wanted to be a paleontologist. Tell us how you came to become a paleontologist.
For me, it was, I grew up in Pennsylvania, and I spent a lot of time outdoors, loved finding rocks, and in Pennsylvania, we don't have a whole lot of dinosaurs there, but we do have a lot of marine fossils, so I'd always find shells and drag them home. So that really sparked my interest in what these animals were that no longer exist anymore. So eventually, I pursued a degree in paleontology, moved out west, and I've been here for about 20 years now.
Wow. Well, you don't look like you've been a paleontologist for 20. Phil looks very young. Well, we are super excited you're here because you're from the Bureau of Land Management. And who knew that the Bureau of Land Management even had its own paleontologist? But I am thrilled to find that out. What is the Bureau of Land Management? What you have a lot of public lands. Can you kind of explain what the Bureau of Land Management does and what it is?
Sure. The Bureau of Land Management was essentially created in the 1940s to take care of public lands, take care of lands in the public interest. So these are federally owned lands, and the BLM is charged with the mission basically is to sustain the health, diversity, and productivity of public lands for the use and enjoyment for present and future generations. So basically what that means is there's a lot of resources on these lands. The BLM overall has around 247 million acres.
Wow.
That's a lot of land. And wow. This is throughout the western United States mostly and in Alaska. So there's numerous resources on these lands. Like we allow for oil and gas production, coal mining, grazing of cattle.
And this is how it's different from, say, the National Forest Service or the National Wilderness Area, as you wouldn't have necessarily mining on those lands. But BLM lands, you can have that, or hunting, right? Fishing.
Yeah, hunting, fishing. There's a lot of recreational activities.
Grazing. I was interested in when I was looking for information about you and the BLM, I learned about people who are using the BLM lands for grazing their livestock and how they've called you because they found something interesting. So yeah. Are the BLM lands open for us as citizens to use and hike and walk around on?
They are.
Even if they have cattle or sheep grazing on them?
Usually that is the case. Some areas are closed off, and most people can contact the local BLM field offices. There are 7 in New Mexico to find out areas that they are allowed to hike in. And if you find a brochure for the different BLM field offices, they usually have a map of hiking trails that you can actually go on.
And can we camp on BLM land?
Absolutely, yes.
Oh, cool. So now that we've got that figured out, like we can all go on BLM land, you're a paleontologist. What exactly do you do?
Lots of things. First of all, one of our goals is to promote research and education with paleontology. So the paleontological resources on BLM lands in New Mexico.
You mean when you find fossils on BLM land in New Mexico? Yes.
Yes.
There are a lot of them.
There's a lot all over the state, every corner of it.
Wow. So when people find something, they call you. Is that right?
Yes, they do.
They find something interesting. So I have so many, many questions, and then you'll find out if it's really something or if it's just a rock.
Right. Sometimes it's just a rock, but a lot of times, it ends up being something really important and a neat find.
Well, for example, there were 2 really big finds in the last, in the last couple months that have made the news here at KUNM, and there's a story right now at the KUNM website, KUNM.org, about this, the latest find in White Sands, am I right? The mammoth found in White Sands. So that's not necessarily BLM land, but that would be an instance of somebody saw something that's obviously a dinosaur or something, obviously not,
Yeah, that the It was actually a mastodon that was found on the White Sands Missile Range. We had a number of archaeologists and paleontologists looking at some trackways in that area, and they accidentally stumbled across the remains of this mastodon. And what was exciting about this mastodon is it's the first one that's been found in the Tularosa Basin. So that kind of gives us some really good clues that that area, which we previously thought was more grasslands, now be more of a wooded area.
You mean where White Sands was must have been woods at one point?
Yeah, it appears to be that way.
That's so hard to imagine. Anna has a question for you.
Sure.
What is probably the most interesting find or call that you've gotten from somebody finding something?
I've gotten a lot of calls. One of the funnier ones was I got a call from some Marines when I first came on. They asked me, would you be able to kill a T-Rex with a gun?
Oh, can you?
I don't know.
I guess we don't really find their skin.
No, we don't. They're pretty large animals. But that was an interesting question.
Well, that's a weird question.
That is a weird question.
Maybe they were thinking of like building a Jurassic Park or something. And
they may have been.
Yikes. Yeah. Wondering if the fence goes off in the rain, you know, how to contain the T-Rexes. What do you find? What do you find in New Mexico? Mammoths are maybe 30,000 years old, right?
Yeah, mammoths, mastodons. We find dinosaurs. You know, up in the northwest corner of New Mexico is full of dinosaurs.
Wow. Full of dinosaurs. Yeah, go ahead.
What's the most interesting thing you have ever found?
It may not sound very interesting to a lot of people, but what I some years ago when I was working in Southern California, I ended up finding a small bone about 2 millimeters wide. And what that ended up being was the first fossil record of a fossilized Gila monster, which is a poisonous lizard.
You mean like the Gila monsters that we have today were around back in the dinosaurs?
They were toward the end of it. This one was lot younger.
No way.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, the Gila monsters were around in the dinosaurs? And they survived the Great Cretaceous Tertiary Extinction Event?
They've changed a little bit through time, but yes, their relatives were definitely back at that time frame.
What else is still around from that era? I mean, we know there's turtles, right?
There's turtles. We have the crocodiles. They're still around.
Yeah, we don't like those.
Alligators.
Sorry, I don't like
sharp,
those.
Pointy teeth.
Thanks a lot. All right. It's just too much. It's so exciting. There's so many more questions we have. Like, for example, say I'm hiking along and I see something and it sure looks like it could be a bone, a fossilized bone. What am I seeing that makes me think that's a fossilized bone versus a rock?
That's a good question. A couple of the main things I look for is when I'm out looking for fossils is you get a sense, you know, you have to develop an eye for what you're looking for. So when you're looking around on the ground for evidence of bones, you look for anything that looks out of place. And it could be the texture, the color, how shiny it is, anything that can give you a little bit of clue that this is something that's a little bit different than the rocks that are laying around. And sometimes it ends up being another rock, but a lot of times it'll end up being a fossil.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, go ahead.
So if you're walking in the foothills or the volcanoes or the bosque and you find a fossil, what do you do if you want to like what do you do when you see one? Do you turn it in or do you keep it? What do you do?
The fossils that we find, they usually go to a museum. In this case, the museum we send our fossils to is the New Mexico Museum of Natural History. So we have a big partnership with them. So usually if I find something, I can collect it since I am a paleontologist. I know how to record the information. So where the fossil comes from is very important. And as you pick that fossil up and take it away, it loses a lot of its context. So it loses some of its scientific importance. So we definitely want to know where it came
from. So you're saying don't pick it up and put it in your pocket?
No, usually not, no.
And then instead we could actually call you. So for example, those guys who found that mastodon, I think it was a mastodon right by Elephant Butte recently,
mm-hmm.
They must have called you or called somebody.
Yeah, they ended up getting a hold of actually the museum here in Albuquerque, and they sent a crew out. It ended up being a full skull to a type of mastodon called a stegomastodon, which is a really rare find, especially a complete skull with the tusks on it.
Wow, and it had its tusk skull on it? Oh, how exciting. So we'll get to see that at some point at the Natural History Museum, I bet.
Absolutely. It's actually on display right now. They have a fossil works exhibit where you can actually see some of the fossil preparators working on that skull right now.
Oh, neat. Yeah, Julia.
If I were to dig a hole in my backyard, I don't know how deep it would have to be, but would I be able to find fossils? Because I have done that in places and found some fossils.
Sure. You know, the thing is, you never know exactly where fossils are going to turn up. They can be in your backyard, your parents' place. They can be on BLM land. They could be anywhere in New Mexico, really.
Wow. Yeah, go ahead.
So my parents have actually told me that New Mexico is scattered with bones and that it's different from like a place like New York or something like that because New Mexico used to have a lot of dinosaurs, and I always thought it would be so fun to just go out and look for fossils sometime.
Seriously fun stuff. Yeah, you know, older kids can participate in a paleontological camp in the summer through something called the Cottonwood Gulch. And there's a terrific camp that kids can actually work side by side with paleontologists but in the field. But let's explore that for just a minute. You don't just like randomly pick a place and start digging as a paleontologist, or do you in New Mexico because you know no matter where you go, you're going to find something?
You know, for a paleontologist, we're pretty focused in certain areas. So we know it's usually sedimentary rocks as opposed to volcanic rocks or to granites because they usually don't contain fossils. So there's a lot of sedimentary rocks like sandstones, siltstones, and those are the areas we put our efforts into looking for fossils.
How old are the oldest fossils one could potentially find here in New Mexico?
I think some of the oldest fossils are in southern New Mexico, and they're about 500 million years old, and those are marine fossils.
500 million years old.
500 million.
Wow. Yeah, Julia.
How old were the oldest fossils that were ever found, like not just in New Mexico, but ever?
Ever.
Or that you know of?
The oldest ones I'm aware of right now are about 3.5 billion years old.
Billion years old. There was life 3.5 billion years ago?
It's mostly bacteria. So it's really small. You need a microscope to find these.
How does a paleontologist find something that requires a microscope to find it?
There's a lot of fossils that are really small that we use microscopes for, but bacteria is probably one of the smallest.
That's fascinating. Yeah, Anna.
So when you go out on the field and you look around for stuff, what do you want to find? What are you saying, I want to find this today? What do you usually want to find?
You know, if I head into a certain area, I have an idea of what types of fossils are there. And I say, well, today I want to find a dog fossil, or I want to find a dinosaur, like a Tyrannosaurus rex tooth.
Can we find those here? Tyrannosaurus rex teeth? I'm kidding.
Yeah, there are. There definitely are.
Wow.
They're very the real T-Rex, the big one, is very rare here in New Mexico, but it has been found here.
We are speaking with Phil Gensler. He is the paleontologist for the Bureau of Lands Management's Southwestern Quadrant. I'm just so thrilled. I love this conversation. We're going to come right back to it. You are tuned to the Children's Hour right here on KUNM. In the studio with us is Phil Gensler. He is the paleontologist for the Bureau of Land Management for New Mexico, Nevada. Where is it, Phil? New Mexico, Nevada, Arizona. Not Arizona. I noticed Arizona was missing, and I'm like, gosh, you have everywhere but Arizona.
I do have Arizona, actually.
Oh, you do? Oh, good. New Mexico, Arizona, Nevada, and California. Neat. And are they as good as we are at finding fossils? I mean, can you find as many cool things out there, too?
You know, you can find fossils in all of the states in the West, but I'll tell you what, New Mexico is really rich, so I would say it might exceed that.
Why is New Mexico so good for fossil finding?
Basically, you just have a lot of the sediments here that contain fossils. I mean, New Mexico used to be an ocean here. So we get a lot of ocean fossils, like ammonites, some sharks, an animal called a brachiopod, which looks like a clam but isn't, clams, snails.
Wow. And because we were an ocean once upon a time, why did that make our dinosaur bones and our fossil bones survive? I mean, surely there was also ocean in other parts of the country where you wouldn't necessarily think are great fossil hunting places?
There a lot of North America was covered by oceans at one time. Mm-hmm. And you definitely can find some of those same marine fossils in other parts of the country as you can here in New Mexico. But on top of all those marine deposits, you have terrestrial deposits, which is land deposits, where you actually find these large dinosaurs.
That's so fascinating. I love it. Anna, you have a question.
Yeah, so you said that you've been working in a lot of states. What, is the best state for finding fossils, you think?
Well, New Mexico, of course.
Yeah, I mean, we're the best in the whole country for fossils. That's what's so great about it here.
I'd agree with that.
And, you know, Phil, I have to ask you, people are always, I mean, I'm always reading things about new finds up at Ghost Ranch. What's the deal with the Four Corners area having so many awesome fossil finds? And I'm thinking, for example, of the Demonosaurus. Is that what they call it? Actually, it was a Latin name that was sort of like demon thing. But it was a really terrifying looking dinosaur that looked almost like a chicken. But it was like a scary chicken. And it was just found in the last couple of years up by Ghost Ranch. What? We haven't found, and it was a new discovery. But the reason I'm mentioning it is it was like, oh, it's a new dinosaur. That's still happening here in New Mexico, isn't it? You can actually find new undiscovered things, can't you?
Absolutely. And we have a number of researchers, paleontologists, who are looking all over New Mexico and the western part of the United States for new dinosaurs. And every year we're finding new species that we had no idea existed. So it's really exciting.
That's so interesting to think of a field that's so ancient, but yet has so much promise for new discoveries. I just love it. Can we talk to you a minute about these wonderful rains we've had here all over the state? It's been fabulous for us. Is it fabulous for you as a paleontologist?
It is. You know, with all the rains we've been having, a lot of the soils have been eroding, which isn't always good, but a lot of times what it'll do is it'll expose new fossils that haven't, you know, that were still buried. So every time you get heavy rains like this, you know, it wipes the slate clean. So if you've been looking in an area for fossils, didn't find anything, after a good rain, you can go back and look again, and you never know what's going to be exposed.
There's a picture we have posted at KUNM.org of you and Gary Morgan from the Natural History Museum and a little girl, and you're pointing to a bone in a sort of short little sandstone cliff wedge. What is that? Tell us about that.
That was one of the recent finds we've had here near Socorro. The Olney family in that area, they graze out there on BLM lands. And and they were telling me for a number of years they've been riding their horses up one of these arroyos, and they noticed this weird white rock that was sticking out of the wall and didn't think a whole lot of it. And then after these rains this last year, some more of it eroded off, and they noticed it again, and it was elongated, not like a rounded rock, and it ended up being a mastodon tusk or a mammoth tusk, and they recognized what it was immediately. And,
wow, smart people. Very I don't smart. Know that I would recognize a mastodon tusk. Yeah.
So I believe that we wanted to make it clear, like, just once again, just to make sure, if we find a fossil, do we touch it or just leave it?
It depends on what kind of the fossil it is. You know, the BLM allows people to collect fossils on our lands as long as it's an invertebrate fossil. So these marine fossils I talked about, like ammonites, trilobites, shells, you're allowed to collect those. Any type of plant impressions of leaves, that sort of thing, petrified wood, you can collect and take home with you. The vertebrate fossils are a lot rarer, so they're of really they're scientific interests. So we try to preserve those and protect those and put those in museums when they're found.
Vertebrate meaning things with backbones.
Exactly.
Like dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs, fish, sharks, those all have backbones.
Sharks. Wow. Just crazy to think of New Mexico now and imagine it teeming with sharks swimming all over the place. Were they swimming here in Albuquerque? Were there sharks here?
Yes, they were close by, actually. Wow. Yes, there were sharks here in Albuquerque area.
So Julia and Liliana really could dig in their backyard and might find a shark tooth or something shark related.
You could.
And would we recognize it as a shark tooth? It's pointy and looks like a shark tooth?
Well, a lot of the older sharks, they have very different looking teeth than what you see, the triangular shape teeth you see today.
Yeah.
So they can vary in size and shape.
Yeah, go ahead, Liliana.
I went over to my friend's house and went in their front yard and found a shark, a dinosaur tooth.
A dinosaur tooth? All right. Was it a big one?
Wow. What did it look like, Liliana?
It's sort of like big like that.
She's making it like it's about 2 inches long. Wow. And did it look like a tooth?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. What did you do with it when you found it?
We left it.
Yeah, good idea.
And then we also found bones.
That's so neat. So, like, when you found, for example, that tusk, Aren't you tempted to dig into the rest of that bank and find the rest of the mammoth? I mean, wouldn't the rest of that mastodon or mammoth be there with the tusk, or would the tusk be all by itself?
Sometimes they're together and sometimes they're not. And when Gary and I went down there with the help of the Olney's, we ended up digging around the tusk and exposing it. It ended up being about a 5-foot tusk, but we did not see anything else in there that indicated there was another tusk, tooth, or any other bones to the mammoth.
So then what happens? Do we imagine that somebody carried the tusk around and dropped it there?
That could have happened. It's really hard to say for sure how that tusk got there, but it probably got washed down in the stream because it was in a stream deposit.
Oh.
You could see the various layers, so that's how it was probably there. And you never know. With further erosion, we could find more of that mammoth.
What about the really big dinosaurs, the brontosauruses and the ones that were just the super-sized dinosaurs? When did they live, and do we find them in New Mexico?
You definitely do. One of the largest dinosaurs that's been found in New Mexico is called Seismosaurus, and that's one of the brontosaurus-looking dinosaurs. They're called sauropods, and actually that was found near here in Albuquerque in the Ojito Wilderness area.
Neat. Wow.
And the BLM, if you look on the BLM website, they actually have a trail that goes out to the site where the Seismosaurus was excavated.
And then something like that, you would come and excavate the whole thing, or Gary Morgan or folks from the Natural History Museum would come, and you actually go out there with your little chisel and
I
shovel?
Do.
That's
uh-huh.
So cool. I have to ask you, famous find that's in the Natural History Museum as the 3-year-old who found the dinosaur egg shells in his backyard here on the west side of Albuquerque. Wow, is all I can say to that. I mean, that's here in Albuquerque, just a 3-year-old who recognized that it was dinosaur shells. That's really cool in and of itself. But tell us about that. Is that we should be looking, like, just as we hike around? Little things that look like dinosaur shells actually might be dinosaur shells?
Yeah, they very much could be. That was a very rare find. That's some of the first dinosaur egg material that's been found in New Mexico, as far as I know. That was a lucky find. It's amazing that he recognized them as being a part of an egg.
I love that story. Well, golly, Phil Gensler is the BLM paleontologist for the Southwestern region and here in New Mexico, the state with the most fossils that in the entire United States. We are the dinosaur capital of the world. And so many wonderful exhibits can be found at the Museum of Natural History here in Albuquerque. And if you've never made a trip over there, so worth your time. Real paleontologists like Phil are working live in their glassed-in office, and you can watch them digging stuff out and doing stuff. Julia has a question for you, Phil.
Okay.
Oh, no, you don't. You're waving at me. Okay, that's fine. You can wave. Oh, you're leaving. Oh, bye. Bye. Well, golly, you know, the dinosaurs that we find in New Mexico, they come from as old as 500 million years ago. Is that right?
That's a little old for the dinosaurs.
So what would have that been 500 million years ago?
That's mostly marine animals. So there was like shells, trilobites, graptolites, things that lived in the water.
What about the top of the sandias when we see all of those imprints of shells and things? Are there going to be dinosaurs up there, or because of the uplift? No? Or
yeah, there's some uplift there in the sandias, and there's a limestone layer up there. So you see those layers at the top? Those are mostly limestones, and you find marine fossils in those.
That's really fascinating, because hard to believe that was the bottom of the ocean.
It was. And then when the sandias got pushed up, so did the limestone that was sitting on sitting at the ground at the time.
So if there are kids out there in the audience who want to grow up and become paleontologists, which I'm sure we have many, many kids who want to be paleontologists, it's obviously a field that has a lot of future growth and exploration. What would your advice be about it now for those kids?
I would say, you know, I had a strong interest in sciences and geology and rocks, and that's where my interest started. So if you get out of high school, you go to college. You know, a lot of people try to pursue degrees in paleontology, and this usually starts with geology. And today, it seems a lot of paleontologists are more into the field of biology. So they're trying to look at DNA, actually, of some of the fossils.
Can you extract DNA from a fossilized bone?
Sometimes you can, yes, if it's preserved. A lot of times it's not, but sometimes it is.
Preserved, like it didn't. So sometimes when we find bones that are fossilized, they don't seem like bones anymore. They seem like they're rocks, sort of like the petrified wood.
And they are.
Can you get DNA out of that?
They've been trying to. So if you look inside, you can look inside those through a microscope and different methods. They can usually find some fossilized DNA inside the bones.
I really love the – there's a TED Talk that would be interesting for kids. And I wish I could remember the guy's name, but if you TED Talk Google dinosaurs, young and old, I think you'll find it. But the TED Talk about the guy who says that maybe there aren't, you know, so many different kinds of Tyrannosaurus rex, that actually it's like juvenile Tyrannosaurus rex versus non-juvenile Tyrannosaurus rex. What about that? Is that what did you ever you know this man's research from Montana or wherever he's from?
I'm not real sure about the research you're referring to, but there's a number of different Tyrannosaurid dinosaurs. So they all kind of look similar to Tyrannosaurus rex, but they're a lot smaller. Sometimes we do find juvenile T-Rexes, but you can usually tell what they are by this bone structure. Some of these other dinosaurs that are Tyrannosaurids, and we have one here in New Mexico called the Bisti Beast that was found near Farmington. That was the first of its kind that's ever been found. Utah on BLM lands, Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument also has a number of Tyrannosaurid dinosaurs, and they're a lot smaller than the T-Rex was, but they're full-grown adults and they're different species.
I really like to imagine Tyrannosaurus, now that we're learning more, covered in feathers. Is that true? Were dinosaurs really covered in feathers, they're thinking?
Yeah, some of them seem to have been. Some of the soft tissue is preserved, or at least impressions of the soft tissues, and you can see the follicles where feathers would have been on some of these dinosaurs.
Even on Tyrannosaurus?
Some of the ones they've been finding in China seem to have that evidence.
And, you know, that just makes them seem a whole lot less scary, somehow, feathered, although...
I wouldn't want to laugh at them about it, though.
They might be sensitive. You wouldn't win, eh?
Probably not.
The answer to the weird question you got about could a gun kill a Tyrannosaurus...
We'd find out the hard way.
Possibly not.
Yes.
Well, wow. Phil Gensler is with the Bureau of Land Management, and he is the paleontologist for our region. And if folks want to learn more about what you do and BLM lands, where can they go online?
You can go to www.blm.gov, and that should get you into the main BLM website. If you put a /on that, put NM for New Mexico, then you can look at what's going on in New Mexico.
And that will show us the maps of where the BLM land is in New Mexico.
Yes. Yeah.
And feel free to hike and camp on BLM lands, even if you see somebody's cattle and sheep and oil well. That's all okay.
Be careful in those areas. Sometimes it's better to check with the different field offices to make sure, but typically you can camp, and there's usually those areas are assigned where you're allowed to camp.
Wow. It's so great to have you on the show with us today, Phil, because it's just so exciting to think that everywhere we go, we could be finding something brand new that nobody's ever found before.
That's exactly
so
right.
I guess we should recap the rules, eh, Anna? It's like, if you find a dinosaur bone and it's big, it's a vertebrate.
You leave it.
But then what? Do you want us to like GPS locate it with our phones and then call you and say, "Hey, I think I just found a Stegosaurus."
Yeah. If the public is out there and they find something, you know, take a picture of it, call the BLM office, and they'll eventually get in touch with me, and I'll come out and take a look at it. I've looked at a number of bones that people have found on BLM lands, and a lot of them actually are dinosaur bones or a mammoth tusk, which we found down by Socorro.
That's so cool.
Okay, one last question that I've been dying to ask. What is your favorite dinosaur?
My favorite dinosaur? I'm going to have to say it's the Bisti Beast. I got to, the museum here has had that on display for a number of years. We just they just took it off exhibit. And since they took it off, we ended up sending it to the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C. So it's going to be on display there for at least a year.
Why do you like the Bisti Beast the best?
It's a brand new Tyrannosaurid dinosaur. It's the first one that's ever been found. And I got to travel with that thing across the country in a truck. So I delivered it to the Smithsonian myself.
You have a personal relationship.
I have a personal relationship with the Bisti Beast.
That is really cool. Phil Gensler from the Bureau of Land Management. He's our regional paleontologist. Thank you so much for being with us on the Children's Hour today.
It's been great. Thank you.